This is Mark Dan House America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We wish to greet our new affiliate, WMQA, 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station in Memphis that's going to be bringing this show and RBN to a much wider audience in the American South in the days ahead. We've been talking with Michael Collins Piper, arguably the most influential person, I think, in our movement today, both with his work at American Free Press, as well as books like Final Judgment and the Judas Goats, The New Jerusalem, The High Priests of War. Michael's thinking on a variety of subjects related to the New World Order and the Middle East and Iran, this is all powerful stuff that shows, I think, the extent to which the American nationalist movement has been infiltrated by something that is a completely different breed of cat, a completely different virus from the kind of thinking that used to characterize the American right prior to World War II. The Israeli lobby and the advocates of world government are quite clearly at the center of that controversy. They, in turn, have a lot at stake, apparently, in what is going on with Iran. Mike, if there's going to be, at some point, an American and or Israeli attack on Iran, when do you think it'll happen in terms of time frame?
Well, you know, that's I would be the last one to even try to guess on that. But I'll tell you what's interesting is that I think probably the cutoff date for it, realistically, would be January 20th, 2009. That, of course, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that's inauguration day for, and that's assuming we do have a presidential election in 2008, and I only say that somewhat sarcastically and cynically. I think the aim of the Bush administration is to get into Iran before the end of the administration. That sounds kind of backward there, but what I'm saying is that it is very much a goal of Bush and his neoconservative handlers and advisors. So I think that they are going to make the push. We saw what they did with Iraq, and I think, again, the template of Iraq is very instructive to watch what they're doing with Iran. For the longest time, for almost a year and a half, Bush and his people pretended to be in the course of negotiations, or the course of, you know, trying to arrange an international consortium, so to speak, to go into Iraq. And, you know, this was all for, you know, for the public consumption, you know, preparing the people for it. And then, of course, they did it. So I think that's precisely what they're now engaged in as far as Iran is concerned. I would tend to think, though, from a political standpoint, that they would probably want to do it well before the 2008 election, but that means they're going to have to do it in the year 2007. So if indeed they finally do it, and I'm afraid they're going to, it's going to be sometime within the next 3 or 4 months. And what scares me, as Mark Glenn wrote in a piece in American Free Press just recently, he did a story about former National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski, who openly referred to the possibility that the United States might use some, effectively, a false flag, a casus belli, as they call them, you know, a new Pearl Harbor, so to speak, as an excuse to go into Iran. So, you know, God knows what they will use it as an excuse, and God knows how the media will play it.
We'll be back with Michael Collins Piper talking about Iran. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest this morning is Michael Collins Piper, and we're talking about Iran. Mike, before the break, you were talking about this whole issue of a false flag incident that may occur in order to bring this war on. And very noteworthy, I think, is to put this in the context of what you were speaking of in regard to Mark Glenn's article on this for Crescent and Cross and also for American Free Press, where Mark was saying that Zbigniew Brzezinski, Carter's ex-National Security Council advisor, or National Security advisor, was saying that this, in fact, could be the causus belli that causes this war to happen. When a former presidential national security director says something like this, I think people should take notice. And based upon what happened to begin the Spanish-American War with the so-called sinking of the USS Maine that proved not to be an action of the Spanish government, and then when we look at what Robert Stinnett has said about the Pearl Harbor attack in his book Day of Deceit, The Truth About FDR and Pearl Harbor, and now, of course, we're speaking about what may or may not have happened in 9/11. Certainly when we speak about a false flag incident provoking a war with Iran, the imagination tends to run wild. When you consider this whole thing, what kinds of false flag incidents do you think could conceivably be in the works?
Well, Mark, you know, it's kind of interesting because I can't help but remind our listeners here today that on September 10th, 2001, that's one day before September 11th, the terrorist tragedy of 2001, on September 10th, the Washington Times newspaper, which excuse me, which is a very solid supporter of Israel, the Washington Times published an article which said that that a U.S. Army school study, I think it was the SAIS, and I'm not sure what that stands for, but as I recall, I believe that was the initials of the group. They issued a report saying that the Israeli Mossad had the capacity to provoke a terrorist action, you know, in other words, a false flag action that could be attributed to Arab or Muslim sources. Now, this is our own U.S. Army. This is a group that trains U.S. Army officers. On September 10th, 2001, they said this was possible. Now, parenthetically and personally, I happen to believe that's precisely what did happen on September 11th, 2001. But needless to say, on a much smaller scale, there could be some orchestration of some event, perhaps an attack on U.S. forces in Iraq by sources traced back to the Iranians and or the Syrians. There could be a terrorist attack on a U.S. embassy somewhere abroad. God forbid there could be a terrorist attack here in the United States that could be attributed to the Iranians. You know, as you say, the imagination can run wild. But the point is that if you look at the history of Israeli operations, and I mean specifically Israeli operations here, they do have a long and sordid history of using false flags to provoke actions intended to benefit Israel. In my book, Final Judgment, I have a whole chapter listing about 15 or 20 notable false flag operations by the Israelis, which in many cases were designed to provoke U.S. antagonism, American antagonism toward Arab or Muslim interests. And, you know, just for the record, we need to remind people of the Lavan affair in Egypt in the 1950s. Wherein the Israelis orchestrated the bombing of U.S. and British installations. The attempt was made to bomb them. And I think there were some bombs set off, but in any case, it was to be blamed on the Muslim Brotherhood. And the purpose of these bombings was to present to the world the image that the secular government of President Nasser of Egypt was unable to contain Islamic extremists who were thus able to carry out these bombings. Well, in fact, the Nasser government discovered that these bombings actually were carried out by the Israelis. And when this became public, it created a scandal in Israel to this day that is remembered as the Lavan affair. Anyone can look it up on the internet, L-A-V-O-N. So this is an old Israeli tactic. They've used this template time and time again. And again, it all ties into the big template here that we've been talking about. The template used to destroy Iraq is now being used to destroy Iran.
Yes, and I think this whole business of the Lavan affair is well taken. I discussed this affair with a couple of different people on this show in the past, and I must say that it was not until very recent years that I was aware of what this Lavan affair was comprised of, as well as a series of other things related to false flag episodes that have been provably traced to the Israeli Mossad over a period of decades. It once again begs the question, doesn't it, as to why the information about these episodes is routinely ignored in the corporate press and why we have to have some good alternative sources of information that enable us to find out what obviously certain people don't want us to find out in regard to the methodology used by the Israelis. This brings to mind when I reviewed Gordon Thomas's book, Gideon Spies, The Secret History of the Israeli Mossad, a few years ago. That review and one I wrote on his book, Seeds of Fire, ended up appearing in a few places on the right in the World Wide Web. And I discovered that I was getting a lot of nasty and sometimes anonymous commentary from various people about the fact that I had no business covering any of this stuff or lending credence to what they claimed were the false reports of Gordon Thomas on these things. But the long and the short of it is I not only believe Gordon Thomas to have reported on this stuff factually, certainly, Mike, your reporting, I believe, to be factual as well. And it's a part of a much larger picture, it seems to me, that in the international press, we are more likely to see honest reference to these things from time to time than we get in this country.
Well, you know, that's a good, you know, that comes back again to the story I told earlier, which is certainly relevant here, that again, as Dr. Alfred Lilienthal reported in his newsletter here, in his small circulation newsletter here in the United States, something that was reported in the mass media in Italy, and that was the fact that the Israelis were financing the Communist Red Brigade terrorists in Italy. Not because the Israelis were particularly communists, not because they had any special hatred for the Italian government. It was simply that the Israelis, from their own very nationalistic, ethnocentric, religiously driven agenda, felt that it made Israel look good, or I should say look better, on the international scene, particularly in the Middle East region, in the Mediterranean region, to have the government of Italy appearing to be less stable than that of Israel. Now, that's a very, very, that story says very, very much, I think, in my mind, about the actions and attitudes and agenda of Israel. And the fact that over the years, I mean, it's pretty common knowledge that that the famed Palestinian terrorist Abu Nidal was probably functioning on behalf of the Israelis. In many cases, he was targeting Palestinian leaders who were perceived to. He was killing his own people, but he was also killing attempting to kill Israeli politicians who were perceived to be too friendly to the Palestinians. In other words, what we're talking about here is that this famed Arab terrorist was actually working for Israel's Mossad. Now, these things that we're talking about here on Republic Broadcasting are things that have, you know, appeared in small circulation newsletters. They have appeared on the Internet. But these are not things that appear in the mainstream press in America. And that's why it's so significant that, you know, that these major things can happen and yet not a peep in the mass media. You know, people who listen to Republic Broadcasting and people who read American Free Press will talk very freely and openly and with great erudition about things such as this. But how many Americans could you pull off the street who would understand or even have the capacity to recognize what a false flag was? You and I talk about, use this term very loosely, and people who call into the Republic Broadcasting Network, you know what a false flag is. But how many people, Mark, do you think in the streets of even Washington, D.C., would understand what a false flag is?
Well, I would suspect that it's probably 0.2%, Thomas.
Yeah. And this is why American Free Press says the media is the enemy, because I personally think that the media bears as much of a responsibility for getting us into Iraq and now trying to get us into Iran as any of these neoconservatives as individuals have done. or are responsible.
We will be back with Michael Collins Piper. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE, wristease.com. Once again, that's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE.com.
4328, and thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Michael Collins Piper of RBN, the American Free Press, and also the author of books like The Judas Goats, Final Judgment, The High Priests of War, The New Jerusalem. The list just goes on and on of all of the things that Michael Collins Piper has accomplished as a writer, a thinker, a broadcast journalist. It's absolutely staggering what he brings to the table. And I profit by that as well as all of the listeners of his show on this network. Mike, I wanted to ask you about something that I remembered reading in Final Judgment, your book about the role of the Israeli Mossad in the assassination of JFK. Since we're talking about Iran today, I remember reading that in your discussion of Robert F. Kennedy's assassination at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles in June of 1968, that there was an alleged connection of the late Shah of Iran's Savak secret police force to that killing of RFK. What's the connection there?
Yeah, that's very interesting, and I'm glad you brought that up. Now, first of all, let me clarify something here.
Sure.
That particular chapter in my book was based upon the research of an author by the name of Robert Morrow. Now, what's very interesting about Robert Morrow's book on the RFK assassination is that he was forced to withdraw that book from circulation. Every copy that he had in storage was pulped. I was actually fortunate to be able to get a copy of the book before it was pulped. It was out in circulation for some time. The reason why the book was pulped was because he was sued for libel, specifically sued by an individual whom he said was one of the other assassins who was firing at Robert F. Kennedy in the kitchen in the Ambassador Hotel. Now, the fact that this person was able to prove that he was not there at the time proves only that person that Morrow thought was responsible, thought was one of the assassins, only proves that Morrow was wrong on that point. But nonetheless, his basic framework in the book that he wrote on Robert Kennedy assassination was that the Iranian secret police, the Savak, actually functioned as a cutout, that is, as a front, more or less, for the CIA in arranging the assassination of Robert Kennedy. There were, according to Mr. Morrow's research, there were several people with connections to the to Savak. That was the secret police of the Shah of Iran. That they were the people who were largely responsible on the ground for setting up the actual mechanics of the assassination of Robert Kennedy. And that, of course, was of particular interest to me in the context of my book, because anyone who knows anything about the history of Savak knows that Savak was basically set up, was set up jointly by the U.S. CIA and the Israeli Mossad. In many respects, over the years, the Savak, you know, the Shah of Iran and the Israelis were very, very close. So a lot of times they were doing things on each other's behalf, and I personally believe that was part and parcel of the assassination of Robert Kennedy, which was a natural extension of the previous assassination of his brother. So there were some unusual Iranian connections to the Robert Kennedy assassination, and they were essentially carrying them out because they were doing that on behalf of their sponsors in the Mossad, and for the other more simplistic reason that the Shah of Iran did not like the Kennedy family. So it was not something that was the idea that Savak could have played a part in Robert Kennedy's assassination is not so really extraordinary if you look at the bigger picture.
Yes, and again, it gets into this whole business of what is routinely not covered in corporate media. Your reference to this in your book, Final Judgment, is, to my knowledge, the only place in print where I had come across these allegations.
Yeah, it was. As I say, there was a very, very detailed outline of the big picture in Robert Morrow's book, but Morrow's book has been, as I say, pulped. Now, I don't... It's very interesting. I don't even necessarily believe I don't believe in everything that Robert Morrow has written. If anything, some of my problems with Robert Morrow is that I was concerned about things he left out. But I understand why he left it out. I understand why he avoided mentioning the Israeli connections and so forth. So I understand that, but as I say, or I should say, as you say, these are these little details that, you know, you can find them. They're hidden nuggets, so to speak. But they're not things that are widely publicized that, if given wide publicity, would give Americans and really people around the world starkly different perspectives on events that are happening around them and events that happened in the past. It's, this is the problem. You know, we have... There is so much information out there which is just absolute garbage that has absolutely nothing to do with the necessary decisions we have to make as Americans. And yet, everybody knows about Anna Nicole Smith and every possible person who was a possible father of one of her children. I mean, come on, where have we gone in our society?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
That for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined by Michael Collins Piper talking about Iran. Just wanted to mention something. Mike has probably seen this. I've been reading this over in the last couple of hours. There's a post today at the British Telegraph by a guy named Tim Butcher in Jerusalem, and he's saying that the disappearance of a former Iranian spy chief has raised speculation he has been kidnapped by the Mossad or the CIA. Ali Reza Askari, 63, who headed Iran's intelligence operation in Lebanon in the 1990s, liaising with the local Shia militia Hezbollah, went missing last month during a routine visit to Istanbul. One report said after leaving Tehran, he never made it to the Istanbul hotel where a room had been reserved in his name. Another account said he arrived in Istanbul but then disappeared, leaving luggage still in his hotel room. With his whereabouts unknown, One theory circulating today is that he has been kidnapped by either Mossad or the CIA. His experience and background would make him a highly attractive target for both agencies. But another theory reported in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz is that he might have defected. Keep an eye on that story in the days ahead, particularly in the context of what Mike Piper's been talking about today. What is the meaning of this event or a lot of other events that are starting to creep into the international press? False flag or otherwise? We'll see. Keep an eye on it. Mike, getting back to our conversation, it's clear that the neoconservatives in this country and the Jewish lobby want to see the end of the IRI regime in Tehran. If they achieve that through whatever methodology, what are they planning on as an alternative? Do they see the installation of Reza Pahlavi, the Shah's son, as the strategy they're going to pursue? What do you think?
You know, that's it. You know, I've heard some, I've talked to some people who have met the former, or I should say the son of the former Shah, and they say he's not too bright. But that's easy for me to say because I'm not being considered as a candidate for either the American presidency or the rulership of the country of Iran. But, you know, there's probably a lot of people in Iran who have different ideas about, just as there are in the United States, different ideas about how they would choose to govern. But, you know, I do have a feeling that that would be like rubbing salt in the wound if they restored the dynasty of the Shah through the good offices of his son, whose apparent only claim to the ability to rule a nation happens to be the fact that he is the son of someone who was installed by the CIA as the ruler of his nation. So, you know, I think again, it's another situation where, again, it's not really the Israeli agenda to have a stable government in Iran. They don't care what the hell is going on inside that country as long as that country is not stable. I mean, in other words, they want that country to be unstable. They want a civil war. They want the electricity to be turned off. They want sewage in the streets. They want people starving. They want American troops occupying that country. That's what they want. So it's largely irrelevant what they say they want, because what they want is what they wanted in Iraq is what they've got in Iraq, and what they want in Iran is what they've got in Iraq right now.
And so the idea is simply to maintain this level of disarray and perpetuity for their own purposes.
Yeah, it's remarkable because, you know, again, as I say, harkening back to what I said earlier, that there are so many Americans, you know, who don't know, you know, who just have no, because Americans are basically good people. Americans find it inconceivable that there could be this level of both insanity combined with evil in policy making at the highest levels of their own government, let alone, you know, another government. So how many Americans, I mean, you know, in my capacity as a human being living among others, my ideal is to have neighbors who do not make a lot of noise, who do not play their stereos loud, who do not shoot off guns. You know, this is what most normal human beings prefer to have in their neighborhood. That's what makes Israel so starkly different from any other country, so far as I can see, because Israel thrives when its neighbors fail. Israel thrives when its neighbors are in chaos. Israel wants its neighbors in chaos. And, you know, I don't think the average human being can understand that mindset. But that's, I'm sorry to say, precisely what the Israeli policy vis-a-vis Iraq has been. And they frankly don't give a damn what they do to Iran either, as long as that government, any government in Iran, is unstable, unless it's a government that is completely in their control. They obviously know that they've never been able to get complete control of even the American-dominated occupation regime in Iraq. And I can guarantee you that they're not going to have a more simple time of getting control of any American-controlled occupation regime in Iran. So again, you know, they can talk about, oh, well, you know, we want a stable Iran, we want a stable Iraq, but that's their talk. But that's not the real game that's being played.
Well, let's assume for a moment that the worst occurs and we see an American preemptive attack on Iran from the air that Lieutenant General William Odom said one day not too long ago at Harvard, not that he was advocating this strategy of preemptive war, he's opposed to it, but he was saying that for those who advocate this, that they will have to follow the aerial strikes with some presence of some boots on the ground, as he put it, which means, of course, American troops. And these are troops that, by and large, we already don't have. So who knows whether or not this is going to bring the draft to pass again. But in a worst-case scenario, let's assume that the United States attacks Iran and subsequently commits ground forces. Will we see a reaction in the Islamic world from Somalia to Indonesia that will threaten other regimes in the Middle East, like Jordan and Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and that ultimately this destabilization game that Israel has been playing for a very long period of time will eventually backfire on her?
You know, that's a very interesting question because, you know, when I was in, when I was in Malaysia last June at the conference I referred to earlier, and that was at the time, 1 week after an American naval vessel had docked in Malaysia en route to the Persian Gulf, very specifically, you know, as a as kind of a saber rattling against the Iranian regime. And there were many people in Malaysia who were criticizing the government of Malaysia, which is formally an Islamic government. They were criticizing the government for not having taken a stand against the American, in other words, not having, or they were taking a stand against their government for having allowed a U.S. naval vessel to refuel in Malaysia. They were saying that this, you know, was obviously, you know, saber rattling towards another Islamic regime, but yet the government permitted it and largely dismissed the complaints of those who did raise their voices about it. I think, unfortunately, the situation in the world today is that there are so many governments who know that they are ultimately in the gun sights of the American Israeli axis. You know, Saudi Arabia has played footsies with the Israelis for years, but you know they are as much a target of the Israelis as the Iranians are. But it just so happens that right now, the big focus is on Iran, and that's what's so amusing about it to me, Mark, and so ironic, and it so illustrates how the press can manipulate the American mind. And in that, since 9/11, we kept hearing that, well, Saudi Arabia is really an enemy of the United States, which has posed as a friend. Well, now that it's convenient to try to bring Saudi Arabia into a tactical alliance against the Iranians, all of a sudden, the Saudis are the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
You know, I mean, it just amazes me, you know, and I feel sorry for the Saudis and for all of the other governments in the Middle East that think that they can somehow escape the being targeted by Israel by making tactical temporary alliances that somehow place them in the good graces of Israel and the United States. It's a game that's been played time and time again over the years, and you know I guess most governments that have not yet been targeted by the United States are just content to sit back and you know and feel sorry for those governments that are targeted. But you know what is going to happen eventually, I think, and this brings it full circle to the question you posed, and that eventually there is going to be a reaction that some action taken by the United States pursuing Israel's agenda ultimately will backfire. my real hope is that it's going to backfire here internally, that you know, we've heard stories that there are American generals and admirals who will resign if the United States prepares to attack Iran. I hope that they not only resign, I hope that they become very outspoken and call upon the American military, the men in the ranks, to say, hell no, we won't go. I think it's a possibility. I think there are great signs, very positive signs, that there are people in leadership positions in the military, in the intelligence community, the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, people, very, very well-informed people, responsible people, patriotic Americans of the first order, who are fed up, who have said enough is enough, and that maybe, just maybe, if these lunatic warmongers finally make the move to get us into Iran, that there will be these people who will stand up and say no more. That's my hope. I think that there are signs that this is happening, but again, you know, whether there are going to be enough people to do it, to be gutsy enough to do it at this critical time in our history and in world history, remains to be seen. But I pray, and I do pray. I'm not a real religious person, but I do pray. I pray every night. I pray, you know, that not just for my country, but for the people of the world, because I don't like war. I'm not a pacifist, but I think war is a bad thing, and it benefits really nobody in the end, because even the people who profit from war, they may profit materially, but spiritually they have feathered a very ugly, dirty, sordid nest that no good human being, no person should ever want to lay down in. So, you know, I think the fight against war right now is the most important thing that we need to focus on. You know, there's a lot of issues out there that are important, you know, but you know, if we blow up the world, all those other issues don't count.
Yeah, exactly, which is why I have spent the amount of time that I've spent in recent years covering this thing with these neocons and who was behind that movement. Yes.
You know, Mark, I recognize that from your writings. That's why, you know, when you first came under my radar, I said, hey, this guy understands things. That you, I'm talking about you recognize that, you know, and I to the best of my knowledge, you're not a pacifist either. I mean, you know, in the old days I used to have this idea that people who were against war were pacifists, you know, but again, that's kind of the image that is presented by the media. But I think for you know, in my opinion, the biggest critics of war are the military men themselves, the people who have to fight the wars. You know, General Smedley Darlington Butler wrote the booklet, War is a Racket. And this is a guy who won two gold medals, two Congressional Medals of Honor. In fact, I think he's the only person who's ever gotten two Congressional Medals of Honor. And he said, war is a racket. And, you know, sometimes there are wars that need to be fought, although I'm very hard-pressed at this time to really really name any of them. But I can tell you in my own mind that this war against Iran is not a war that needs to be fought. I found the Iranian people to be warm, intelligent, friendly, welcoming. And this at a time, you know, most of those people in Iran that I encountered, you know, in the streets and in the hotels and places, you know, they didn't have any idea who I was or you know, they knew I was an American. You know, they sensed that instinctively, you know, I guess of the ugly American. But I didn't feel any hostility. I didn't see people staring me down. You know, human beings, I've been all over the world, human beings are all pretty much alike in their interpersonal dealings, and they don't sit around saying, we hate America.
Yes, and it makes me wonder, in this day and age of internet technology, where a guy like me, who 20 years ago, roughly, was a district chairman in the Republican Party in King County, Seattle, and not seeing the real inside story behind people like Jack Kemp and Newt Gingrich, If I have figured this out in all of the years since, largely because of the internet and through accessibility to sources of information that I never had before, where in the old days I was just reading Human Events and Bill Buckley's National Review and believing whatever it said, that now that I have had this metamorphosis in my own worldview in the last 15 years or so, largely because of the internet and the people it's put me in touch with, I suspect that there are a lot of other people, both in this country and around the world, that have had the same experience, which begs the question, if much of the world has now figured out what Wolfowitz and Pearl and company are up to, and if much of the world has figured out what is behind this suggestion that Iran should be attacked militarily and preemptively, does it not hint at the possibility that the forces behind this war and their inability to control this dissemination of information might find themselves this time, both in the United States and elsewhere, dealing with a political insurrection against these central banking elites and the Jewish lobby and the neocons and all the rest of it, that this this backlash might end up producing a better world? What do you think?
You know, I agree with you 100%. I wish it wouldn't have to be that way. You know, in my book, The High Priests of War, I reproduce a picture of the White House.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com. or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Michael Collins Piper has been with us in the last couple of hours, talking about Iran and neocons in Israel, talking about all kinds of things related to corporate media and to the distortion of information, the withholding of information by the establishment media, and the way in which alternative media has been doing an end run around these guys in recent years, with end game yet to be determined. Will more people figure out what's going on? Will they resist? Will they do something about it? We'll see in the days ahead. I wanted to mention to Michael Collins Piper and also to our other listeners that many years ago when I was living in Tehran, in the summer of 1976, I wrote a diary, penned a diary about my experiences over there, which you can find on my website, www.markdankoff.com. It's entitled A Summer of a Thousand Nights from Tehran to Susa. The first seven chapters are comprised of what I wrote at the age of 21 in the summer of 1976. The last six or seven chapters in part two of that manuscript deal with my observations in all the years since about empire. That section begins in January of 1984, goes all the way up to August of 2003. And that chapter on August of 2003 is entitled, A Message from the Angel of What Is and Not What Appears to Be. That might be a good theme for us in the days ahead. Mike, in regard to your life and career, it is not an act of sycophancy to say that I think you're probably the leading name in our movement. What do you think in these last couple of minutes, what do you think are your major goals in the next year or so? Are you going to go back to Iran for another visit?
Well, let me say this much. I appreciate the compliment, but I hope you're wrong because there are so many people who are out there contributing so much, each in their own individual ways, that that's what a movement is all about. Each person contributing in their own ways. You know, I write some books, and I have a radio show now, which I've had for a year, but everybody can contribute something in some way to try to rectifying things. What my career is, to the extent that it can even be described as a career, is just basically reacting to the moment, because this is such a fast-changing world. You never know where you're going to be at any given time. I would have never expected to have traveled to the places that I have traveled during the past several years, and how those how those things came about has always been remarkable to me. So I never make any long-range plans because I know how fast this world works, and that scares me sometimes because sometimes it works just a little too fast. And I'm just going to continue doing what I have been doing, really, for now more than half my life, unless they kill me. And I don't think they'll even do that because they don't really like martyrs. So all I can say is I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I know you will, and I know the Republic Broadcasting Network has really contributed so much to getting so much news and information out there that we owe a great deal of thanks to them for that.
One last prediction from you, Mike. We touched on it a little bit earlier in the show. War with Iran, yes or no?
I think yes.
I do too. Let's hope we're both wrong. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'd like to thank Kurt Simmons for being on in the first hour. Michael Collins.